I'd like to read three scriptures, and the first is found in Romans chapter 5. The book of Romans and chapter 5. And verse number 12. Romans 5, verse 12. Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. Verse number 17, for if by one man's offense death reigned by one, much more they which receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one, Jesus Christ. Therefore, as by the offense of one judgment came upon all men to condemnation, even so by the righteousness of one, the free gift came upon all men unto justification of life. For as by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous. Now turn to Colossians, please. The book of Colossians on chapter 2. Colossians chapter 2 and verse number 13. And you being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh hath he quickened together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses, blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to his cross. And having spoiled principalities and powers, he made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it, or in the cross. Now, finally to Revelation 20, please, for a final reading. And verse number 11. And I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. And the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. Verse 14. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Trust the Lord will help us tonight at the opening of this meeting to preach the gospel from these verses. Just want to link them very simply together that you'll be able to follow what's on my mind. And that is, we have the tragedy of the human family referred to in Romans chapter 5. The tragedy. I want to look at the triumph of the cross in Colossians chapter 2, and finally, the trial of the unconverted in the coming day. So there's really three thoughts before me. We want to look at the tragedy, the triumph, and the trial. That is, the tragedy of the human family. We often wonder and ask ourselves the question, in our world, in planet Earth, why so much chaos? Why so much problem? Why has things gone the way they are? We have to always revert back to the Word of God and find where it all commenced. What happened by the fall of our first parents when Adam sinned? And it's so clear, so plain, I don't need to even exposit or even try to explain it. If I could only lodge this verse in every mind. Wherefore, as by one man, Adam, sin entered into the world. Death by sin, death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. That's where it all commenced, friend. Our chaotic world, the sin, the violence, everything we read about, the horrific things that happen in planet Earth and our world, all go back, all stem back to the beginning when sin commenced, friend. And we want to try to bear that upon every mind, because this will help you to understand. We all stand before God. No matter what status of life we have, no matter what background, whether it's religious or irreligious,
whether it's been brought up in the environment of gospel privilege or whether you never heard, the Bible's so distinct, so clear as to the reason, friend, that our world is in such a condition. And the reason, friend, is this, because of sin. I know it's not a palatable word. I know it's not a word that people like to think of, but friend, if you're going to know heaven at the end of the journey, you will face this solemn, stark reality that before God, I stand condemned and a sinner before Him. Because I go back and find sin commenced in the Garden of Eden when Adam sinned and death is passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. By the disobedience of one, many were made sinners, says the record of Romans chapter 5. I hope you'll take that in tonight. Because if you don't face the sin question, you will never appreciate the son question. You'll never come into the benefits of the work of Christ at Calvary, friend, and the purpose why He died. Sin. You know, that's how it was brought in at the beginning when Adam sinned. He brought sin into our world. You know, if you go to a doctor, you want to know exactly what is wrong. You don't want them to cloak anything. You don't want them to hide anything. You don't want them to say, well, I'll give you something and take it and you'll maybe be all right in a few days. You want to find out exactly. I remember going to the doctor a few years back, just two. And he was very honest with me. Very honest. It kind of shocked me. It bowled me over a moment. When he x-rayed and diagnosed what he thought, he says, you could have cancer. Actually told me that. When I left the office, I thanked him, but when I left the office more, I said, I don't like that word, but maybe it's true. Maybe it's true. And I had to just face facts. Maybe it is true. And I started to say, when he told me when I left the office, very kind doctor, he didn't say it bluntly, he said it very kindly. After he got the x-rays and after he investigated somewhat. He said, it could be. That's why he said, you could have cancer. So he said, I want to alarm you as to the fact it may not be. But he said, I'm afraid. I would like you to go to a specialist. I would take it a little further. My friend, it was better for me to face that. Wasn't it? It was better for him to tell me that than me to go through life wondering and not knowing, and then finally, they're gone. My friend, listen, it's better for you to face your sin. Sin is real. You know, when sin commenced, you know what happened? We talk about slavery happening in the United States of America. We talk about slavery in Africa. You know when slavery commenced, friend? In the Garden of Eden. Sin entered, it brought something that never was before on planet Earth. Slavery. Man became a slave to sin. Sin became the domineering factor in his life. Whether religious or whether irreligious, it doesn't matter what his outlook was or what he did or what he tried or what he worked at. It was all contaminated with sin. That's why the Bible says there is no difference. Romans 3:23. For there is no difference, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Not as to the degree of sin, but as to the declaration, friend, all are sinners. I wonder if you've taken that in. If I could bring the worst man of the streets of Vancouver tonight and bring him and set him up at my left hand here, and I could bring the best religious, upright, moral, good-living, God-fearing man and stand him at, or set him at this side, I could write over those two men and make them clasp their hands together and say, both. No difference. Both have come short of God's glory. Both are sinners. Get a hold of it, friend. You ought to face that tonight. You have a worse malady, a worse disease than any affliction of the human body, friend. You've got a disease called sin. And every part it seizes rages most within. And the man or woman that faces his sin is the man or woman, I can guarantee, friend, or boy and girl, will come into what I'm going to preach on secondly after I finish this little thought that I have at the beginning concerning the tragedy of our human race. It all commenced in the garden when man disobeyed and flouted the command of God. Everything conducive for him in the garden. Everything for his pleasure. Everything for his good, friend. Only one prohibition. And let me say this, friend. Lest you get a wrong conception of God. God did not place the command or prohibition in Adam because he hated him. You know why he did it? Because he loved him. Let that sink. And what God was doing was testing to see what love or loyalty would be given to the God that created him. Therefore, my friend, God's heart was deeply pained. When Adam sinned, God felt it more than Adam did. And my friend, you tonight in the meeting, away from God, never saved, never been born again, never come into the benefits of the work of the cross, God feels pained more than you feel it, friend. God feels the loss of a sinner more than a sinner feels the loss of God. Friend, God really feels that. God wants you to face it. The man or woman that faces their sin is the person will be blessed. Commenced in the garden, friend. That's where it all started. And that's why death passed upon all men, for God all have sinned. Whether, friend, we look at death as physical or spiritual or eternal, all is embraced in it. How solemn to think that that sentence has been passed upon the human family. The sentence of death, the condemnation, the guilt. I read last night Romans 3 verse 19. All the world has become guilty before God. Every mouth should be stopped, friend. Man should never retaliate against God. Man should never raise his voice and say, well, I'm not as guilty as others. Or man should never try to present to God anything that he has done, because God has brought the sentence, friend. Guilty. Condemned. Don't hide from it. You see, the first parents, the first thing they did when they sinned, they hid. They sought to get away. They ran from God. Is that not the principle of our Bible? There's none that seeketh after God. You see, friends, you would take your own way. That's what the Bible says. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have taken everyone to his own way. We would do that, friend. We would run away from God. We would never face God. We would never come back to God. And it's true what the Negro man said in the meeting when someone was preaching and said that the different ones, how did you get saved? This man jumped up, and this man jumped up, and another one jumped up, and then this black man jumped up. And he said, how we get saved? And the preacher said, but what was your part in this? What was your part in this business of being saved? Oh, he said, I forgot to tell you. My part was running away. My friend, that's where you are tonight. And I hope you'll face it. If you're thinking about your sin, friend, be very conscious of this. God is speaking to you. God is trying to reach you. God is trying to put you in a corner. God is trying to box you in. God is trying to say, look, I'm giving you an opportunity. I am trying to reach you. I am trying to touch you. You look at many of us tonight in the meeting. Thoughtless and reckless and careless. For years, friend, some brought up in Christian homes. The last thought they had in their mind was to face their sin and face God and face eternity. But when God started to speak, when God started to probe, when the Spirit of God started to deal, my friend, it changed the whole picture. Realities became realities. Concern became concern. Conviction became conviction. Sin became sin. Our condition before God became absolutely appalling. We recognize we stand condemned. Condemned. Oh, would God reach our heart tonight? Would God reach a soul in this meeting? Young man, young girl, could I speak to you tenderly? Don't hide from God. Don't seek to run away constantly. Listen to his voice. He's trying to reach you. He's trying to tell you why you need to be saved, why you need to be born again, because you are constituted a sinner. Mr. Ramsey put it well, didn't he? When he said, You don't have to sin to become a sinner. You sin because you are. And he used to say in his own simple way, a dog is a dog, no matter whether it's barking, running, eating, biting, sleeping. It's a dog because it's a dog nature. And my friend, a sinner is always a sinner, whether he's religious, pious, pleasure-loving, groveling in sin, doesn't matter. He's a sinner before God. All have sinned. And they come short of the glory of God. Again, quoting our dear brother, when a woman went out of the meeting the night, he preached on sin so plainly, so powerfully, and so skillfully as he could do. This woman walked out of the hall that night and she looked at him and she said to him, "Mister, we're all sinners." She was kind of convicted, you see. She was trying to get it over. "Well, we're all sinners." Got that message. He said, "Can you say I am a sinner?" "We're all sinners, I mean." But he said, "No, I didn't ask that. Can you say right now, I am a sinner?" And again she stuttered. She swallowed hard. I don't know how many spittles she swallowed. But boy, I tell you, she had an awful time. She couldn't even say it. She was afraid to say, I am the sinner. Isn't that what the Bible does? Singles people are to recognize, I am the lost one. It's not my neighbor. It's not my friend. It's not the dope addict. It's not the drunkard or the gambler. It's me that stands before God. God be merciful to me, sinner friend. That's where God brings sinners. I hope tonight you will be brought there because I have a message for you. We've got the triumph, the cross. See, friend, the only answer to sin is the cross. The only answer to man's sin is Calvary, the finished work, the precious blood. You know what happened when Christ died on the cross? That law that condemns us, that's why there is a law. That's why the Ten Commandments are given, friend. We touched last night but briefly. But those Ten Commandments are given as a condemnation to us, as a showing that we have fallen short. We cannot keep them. And that stands as a sentinel, beaming out constantly the holiness of God, the condemnation of the sinner, making him recognize, I stand absolutely condemned, guilty, I have nothing to say. God's law condemns him. But you know what happened to the cross, man? That very law that condemns me, that exposes my sin, that shows me I am a sinner, that brings me to the place I am lost and guilty. Can't save myself. The Word of God brings that soul to see when a cross took place 2,000 years ago, many things happened. Number one, sins. That law that was standing against us, that was contrary to us, that couldn't do anything for us, that left us helpless, that left us hopeless, that left us only condemned in a state of absolute guilt. God did something on the cross to His Son. He punished Him. And He blotted out the handwriting of that law that was against us, was contrary to us. Every one of those demands of that law that condemned us thoroughly and truly and completely, friend, God placed upon His Son the punishment that law demanded for my sins. I love that. You know what that tells me? Sin was cancelled at the cross. God placed upon Christ, His own Son, the only remedy, the only way. No other way could be found. Man's a sinner. And no man can by any means redeem his brother, give to God a ransom. For the redemption of the soul is precious, must be let alone forever. But at the cross of Christ I see how God can save, yet righteous be. And yonder at Calvary, that law that condemned Albert Hull, that made me tremble, made me recognize my exceeding sinfulness and the holy character of God. At Calvary, God took all the demands, and that law demanded death, demanded judgment, demanded suffering. And at Calvary, God placed my sins at upon Christ and answered to a condemning, accusing law. Not only that, he took away. It was contrary to us, taking it out of the way. In other words, that law that condemns me no longer condemns me. When I look to Christ, when I see He died for me, when I see He bore my judgment, when I see He took the curse of a broken law at Calvary, when I recognize that all the demands and all the authority of that law that slew me, that brought me to nothing, that brings me to death, I look at Calvary and see Christ, God took it out of the way when He placed it on His Son. Forever gone. The law's demands are met. The law's accusation, the accusing voice of that law is silent. Calvary, friend. I'm glad I'm not under the thunder of that law. I'm glad I'm not under its sentence and under its condemnation. I stand where the fire has been and I recognize Christ died in my place and bore my sins. I feel like shouting hallelujah, it is done, the night I got saved. I believe in the Son. I am saved through the blood of that crucified one. I'm not clinging to anything of Albert Hall, any works, any background of good living, any environment of a Christian home, anything that I did in reading or saying verses. My friend, nothing. But the blood of Jesus is my answer, friend, my only plea. I hope you get that tonight, because that will bring you to the place that you can do nothing. Christ has done it all. You know what He did? God did three things. He blotted them out, canceled them. He took it out of the way, no longer to condemn. It's not there any longer. You know another thing He did? Why? He held it to His cross. And when I pass the cross, the old-fashioned idea is, of course, when a criminal was dying on the cross, they put up the reasons why he was there. That a man went by to say, that man committed so many murders. That man committed so many crimes. And people could see as that man hung there, a cross, his head was written. The indictments. The document. The debt. He couldn't pay. You know, friend, at Calvary, written across, not in letters that we could see that Jesus of Nazareth, that you could see. But you know what God did? I hope you get the picture. Everything that was against the sinner, every document, every debt, every sin, He nailed it to Christ's cross. In other words, what He's saying is, everything is transferred to Christ, the sinless, blessed substitute at Calvary. I took that in 38 years ago. What did you take in? There is my surety, He firmly stood, paid for my ransom, His precious blood died for my sins to bring me to God. Jesus died for me. I remember a dear man, he wouldn't come to meetings. He did years ago, but he stopped coming. And he and his wife were parted for about 6 years. He was a drunkard. He had a stroke, he had a heart problem. And his little daughter was coming to the meetings. She just said to me with tears one day, she said, Mr. Hollis, how am I ever going to get my dad to me? That I would love to see him here. He needs to be seen. He said, I can't. I says, what does he think about? Oh, he loves me. Well, I said, if he loves you, you know what you do tonight? You go and as tenderly and as sweetly and as softly worm your way into his heart and say, God, do me one favor, put it on now. Just one. You know, a little girl can do that. And you know what he's saying? One favor, God. If you don't even come back again, just come one night and sit beside me. Well, I never forget. She didn't come the next night, but she said to me, I believe he's coming, Mr. Hall. Keep praying. She won his heart. Boy, I tell you, it's nothing. Win the heart of the soul, and I tell you, you can get them serious. Better that. Even when the soul's as wise. And that man come. Never forget when he come in.
And we hadn't asked them back, we did just thank them for coming back. And we next sitting under the sentence.
Sitting in a house one day, his brother had asked us round for a meal. And he asked this man, his brother, the man with a stroke and heart problem, his brother. He asked him around, and we're sitting around the table, and we're talking about everything under the sun. Christian, should you do that?
Talking about cars and fixing cars and how many horsepowers in a car. Everything. And as soon as we finished, we all sit down and sit in different places. I sat in the chair and this man said over. And as I was talking to my preaching partner, the tears were coursing down that man's face. And I looked at him. It kind of shocked me. So I walked over a second and sat there and I put my arm on him. He said, have you a problem? What he said to me, rebuked me. He said, Mr. Holland, he said, I thought you were going to leave without telling me how I could use it for you. What did I look? I said, boy, I got my Bible. I said, I could tell you. And I thought to tell him how he could be sure of heaven. Read all the grand old scriptures of substitution. 1 Peter 3:18. What left him? I said to my preaching partner, I said, you better go over and have a word of God. Never forget. He walked over and said, I have one verse for you. I want you to listen. I hope you'll listen to it now. This is what he read. Who his own self bear our sins in his own body on the tree. He said, I want to read it again. Who? Christ. His own self bear our sins in his own body on the tree. I'll never forget when that man looked at me and says, Well, he says, I take God at his word, my sins are gone. They're on him. On him. Ah, friend, tonight, that's where I rest for you. If you rested there, you know something? You would know too that your sins are gone. Forever gone! Now, my time is gone, but let me point out. I should have went to the second verse first and forgot about the first one. You know, the work of Christ is so great, so large, so immense, friend. Wonderful to think what took place at Calvary. Sins blotted out. The law, the demands of that law blotted out. Taken out of the way, never again accused. Nailed to the cross. And the cross is past, it's gone forever. And then he spoiled principalities and powers. All those powers that hell man, whole sinners, friend, he stripped them off. And he made a show of them openly. How? In the cross. The cross was the devil's defeat. Was all the hostilities against God was removed, friend, when Christ at that cross died. And the proof is this, friend. Hallelujah, thanks to Lord. And because he's risen, friend, he has exposed eternal the victory and triumph of Calvary. I love that hymn. We don't sing it, do we? Maybe not in our book. But Wesley's hymn. He breaks the power of cancel sin. He sets the prisoner free. His blood can make the vilest clean. His blood avails. For me, may God help as the meeting goes on. Sinner tonight, look only to the cross. It's the answer for eternity.